The Insurance and Banking Subcommittee will come to order. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley.
Here.
Vice Chair Fetterhoff.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite.
Here.
Representatives Barnaby.
Here.
Brown is excused. Driscoll is excused. Fabricio.
Here.
Jill Lombardo.
Here.
Haig is excused. Hardy.
Here.
Jenny.
Here.
Coster.
Here.
Maggart.
Here.
Rayner is excused. Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Toledo. Zika. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Before we begin, just a reminder, please silence your electronic devices. Members, I want to welcome everybody back from what seems to be a really great Thanksgiving week last week. Everybody I've spoken to had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I certainly did. We have two bills on our agenda today, so let's get right to it. First up, we will take up House Bill 123, Consumer Finance Loans, by Representative Stevenson. Representative Stevenson, you are recognized to explain the bill before we take up the amendment.
Thank you, Chair DeSegley, Vice Chair Fetterhoff, and Ranking Member Wilhite for the chance to present House Bill 123 today. House Bill 123 codifies some best practices for Florida Statute 516 installment lender, as well as eliminating prepayment penalties. The bill also gives lenders the option of keeping the current $25,000 liquidity requirement per location or using $25,000 surety bonds, certificates of deposits, or letter of credits with a $5,000 per additional location rider. This gives the Office of Financial Regulation another more stable method to hold licensees accountable and maintain the necessary protections should the lender be subject to an adverse judgment or fine by the Office of Financial Regulation. Providing additional options for licensees can free up capital for lenders to lend to their customers while still ensuring regulatory safeguards are met. By creating the option, lenders, especially smaller ones, can weigh the business ramifications of sidelining $25,000 or paying continual bonding fees and premiums and still protect their customers. And there is an amendment as well.
Okay. Members, any questions on the bill? Representative Hardy, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So under the law today, I would need $100,000 in cash set aside to open 4 locations. Under this bill, though, I could have 100 locations licensed and be required to have no more than $100,000 in aggregate in surety bonds, right? And so, my question is, what might be the unintended effect of a bill like this that might allow, for example, the proliferation of some of these locations in various communities because there's a constraint on them right now with the $25,000 cash requirement?
Thank you, Representative Hardy.
Oh, you're recognized.
I appreciate that question, and it's a question that I asked, and I'm going to ask the regulator to come up to assist me with some of those because I asked similar questions. Let me start with the $25,000 of liquid assets. It's very difficult to establish a security interest of $25,000 of cash. And so the regulator indicated to me that it's preferable to have certificates of deposit and things because that's something that they can establish a security interest in. We also talked about the sufficiency of that amount and at some length because I had similar questions on it. But if you notice, the interest rates are fairly low on these, and part of the objective was to make it more capital available for lenders in this category, in this space. And I believe we have somebody here from Department of Finance, Financial Regulations.
Sure. You recognize. Please state your name and position, please.
Alex Anderson, Office of Financial Regulation. We're not proponents of this bill. We're neutral on this bill. But we would like to help answer Rep. Hardy's question. The $100,000 that's in the bill could be used for any one location. It is not a total for the state. The $25,000 for first location, $5,000 thereafter. Your question is that not the same protection for the individual location?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe I misread the bill, but the way that I read it was that even though each location has to be licensed, and even though $5,000 per location and surety bonds after that, there would be like an aggregate cap of $100,000 for all locations for a particular company that's doing this. Is that an accurate reading of the bill?
You recognize.
That is an accurate reading. That is the that is how it is drafted right now, is that there would be a $100,000 cap, but that $100,000 could be used for any instance at any location.
You recognize?
I just want to make sure that we're understanding, you know, when you say there's a $100,000 cap, if I'm a company and I've got many, many locations and licenses at each, after this bill passes, in total, no matter how many locations I have, in total, the total amount and aggregate of surety bonds that I would need would be $100,000. I just want to make sure that we
recognize.
That's correct. That is the way it is written right now. It is $100,000 total, and that would match what other states are doing. This is this is to line up with our other license types as well.
So, one more follow-up.
So my question here is this, right? So the intended purpose of these requirements might be one thing, making sure that these companies have liquid assets on hand, yada, yada, right? But there's an unintended, in my opinion, positive outcome of these regulations under the law today, which is that it imposes a cost on each additional location by saying that these companies have to have dead capital, right? Which limits the number of locations, right? So now we've capped, under this bill, the total number of capital that a corporation has to have just dead in order to open locations. And so now, potentially, you know, it's a lot less costly to open more locations, and I'm worried about the consequences of making it that much easier to have many, many locations of these types of businesses and lenders.
Sure.
You can address that.
Each location still licensed, each location still covered, just a lower total for all locations. So I think we're saying the same thing, but they're all still licensed, yes. And they're all still bonded.
You know, when I asked this question, one of the questions I said, well, would it be depleted? And if they had an incident at one location, they would have to restore the $100,000 capital. They would have to restore the bond to the full amount. But I had the similar questions, and the answers I was given is that for the experience they have, there are disincentives in the statute for them to lend more than they, than somebody can repay. With the other safeguards, that there had been very little fines in that. I just want to make sure, because I'm kind of retelling some of the information I got. But I'm happy to continue to discuss that with you, as well as the regulator, if there are issues or concerns. The fact that it's been done successfully in other states in this manner would just put us on an equal footing, although I believe our interest rate caps are lower. And we have other experts here as well. So,
okay. Members, any other questions? Okay, seeing none, okay, you are recognized to explain amendment number one.
This amendment simply clarifies the letter of credit must be issued by a financial institution as defined in statute. It just makes it explicit that it has to be offered by a financial institution.
Okay, members, any questions on amendment number one? Okay, is there any public testimony on amendment? Okay, no public testimony on the amendment. Members, any debate on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, Representative Stevenson, you recognize to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'm asking for your favorable support on this issue, on this bill. We have fewer people that are licensed and less access to...
Representative, this is... you're closing on the amendment.
I'm sorry, closing.
That's okay.
Oh, thank you.
Are you waving close? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. All right, members, any objections to the amendment? Okay, without objection, show the amendment adopted. Okay, members, now are there any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, now we're into public testimony. Ida Fernandez, AARP. She's waving in support. And we've got Scott Jenkins, Florida Financial Services Association, waving in support. And that's it, okay. That concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill as amended? Representative Hardy, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. I just want to begin by saying I am supporting this bill. I just have one concern about it, and we'll see how it works out. So I'm not concerned about these lenders overextending themselves or things like that. That's less my concern. And it was hinted at a little bit in your comments earlier about access. And there are positive and negative aspects of access to these institutions. And I am just concerned that one of the limits on their proliferation, they're being required to have this $25,000 per location. That's a cost that prevents them from proliferating, and that's being reduced drastically. And I'm just concerned about folks, about these lending institutions being maybe a little too available in certain communities. So we can talk about that in the future. Not something that would keep me from supporting the bill.
Okay. Any further debate? Members, any further debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Stevenson, you are recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Thank you, and I thank you, Chair, and I appreciate your concerns, Representative Hardy, but I'll have to just observe, and you can observe, that over the internet we have, and through advertisements, we have very high dollars, good-sized dollars, and very high interest rate products that are offered to us from other states. So to support an in-state product that has good safeguards that was set up to help bridge some of those gaps, I think is a positive thing. But I will happy to continue to work with you with any questions, and along with the regulator as well. With that, I would ask for your favorable support. In your supporting documentation, you'll see that we have a reduction in the number of licensees, and some having alternatives for these types of lenders is a positive thing for the people of the state of Florida overall. I mean, ideally, everybody would be a prime credit risk, but not everybody is. And this was specifically put into statute to give people options so that they can get themselves in a better position and get the capital that they need. And with that, I close.
Your Representative Stevenson, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, will you please call the roll?
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Representative Brown is excused. Representative Driscoll is excused. Fabricio?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Representative Haig is excused. Hardy?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
Representative Rayner is excused. Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, by your vote, House Bill 123 will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy holidays.
Okay, next, members, we will take up House Bill 273, Money Services, by Representative Alupis. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill before we take up the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Members, HB 273 is a bill that you will recall. This bill was actually heard last year. This is the cryptocurrency bill. We passed this bill unanimously out of the House. Unfortunately, we did not get it through the Senate, so we're bringing it back again this year. As you recall, last year I sort of spoke to the fact that Florida has essentially remained moot on the issue of cryptocurrency. And as the industry has continued to grow, we fundamentally believe that there needs to be some regulatory structure for virtual currency. So similar to last year, what the bill does is sort of three things. One, define in statute definitions for virtual currency. Two, address money transmission law issue, where case law is now requiring that two-party transactions require an MTL. This clarifies that an MTL is necessary only for intermediaries. And then thirdly, dealing with permissible investments for cryptocurrency, so that an individual transferring cryptocurrency must hold in reserve the amount that into which they are transmitting. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Lupus, you are recognized to explain amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is just a technical amendment that amends the definition of virtual currency to clarify the exclusion of consumer affinity or rewards programs. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on amendment number one? Okay, seeing none, any public no public testimony. Members, any debate on amendment number one? Seeing no debate, Representative Lupus, you are recognized to close on amendment
number one.
Are there any objections to the amendment? Any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Members, we are, any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, any public testimony? Russell Weigel, Office of Financial Regulation. Waiving in support. Okay, that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill? Representative Snyder, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to say thank you again for bringing this forward. Representative, I think cryptocurrency is going to be a critical part of certainly the future, and thankful that Florida is stepping up and leading the way, and I appreciate all your work on this.
Members, any further debate? Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, obviously, I'm a very big supporter of the of opportunities, and cash is always a great opportunity to use on anything that you purchase in this country right now. But I really do appreciate the opportunity to use options. As you know, I've been a big supporter of cryptocurrency and continue to do so. And I think bringing it more out of what some consider the darkness, regulating it and controlling it and making sure that it is regulated more so that stigmatism goes away, it's certainly a benefit to us, and Florida should be on the forefront of doing that. So thank you for bringing this bill forward again, and hopefully the Senate can see that this is a very important issue that should be regulated in the state of Florida. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and well done on the plug. Any further debate? Any further debate? I'll just say thank you for bringing this bill back. As you know, persistence is key in this process, so I wish you the best of luck along the way. So you recognize the closer on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think we have, you have an hour and 15 minutes left in the committee. If permit you, I'd like to take the entirety of it. I would just say a couple of quick things. Well, obviously, this has been an issue that I've worked on for a year and a half now, extremely complex issue, and it's really been with the support of people like Ranking Member Wilhite, who really understands the industry, Meredith Hinchelwood, whom I hope you know is just an absolute rock star in the silo. OFR has been tremendous, and just so many stakeholders coming to the table. And I think the question around virtual currency, whether you believe in it or not, it's a reality. And I think we as a state have a responsibility, not only from a business standpoint, but from a consumer protection standpoint, to make sure that we're doing everything we can to really be at the forefront of the industry. So with that, I ask for your support.
Okay, Representative Alupas, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Representative Brown is excused. Representative Driscoll is excused. Fabricio?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo? Yes. Representative Haig is excused. Hardy?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
Representative Renner is excused. Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, by your vote, House Bill 273 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, committee. Have a great day.
Okay, members, if there is no further business, that concludes our agenda for today's meeting. Ranking Member Wilhite, I got 1 minute, buddy. Okay. If there's no further business, that concludes our agenda for today's meeting. Vice Chair Fedorov moves, we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.